Hey, I want to dance with somebody.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Step up, son.
You're 2 pounds heavier than when you came to camp, but we can fix that. All we have to do is decrease his food intake and increase his metabolic output. All right, step on the scale, son. Muscle weighs more than fat.
And Brandon Sprague.
7 minute abs, and we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8 minute, folk. You're not happy with the first 7 minutes. We're gonna send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Maybe at the end of the show, we'll both take our clothes off, you Armani, and me mine, and we'll just give it to the audience. What do you think?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Everybody's a little hot and bothered today.
Yelling at each other. Talking, you're not talking.
Who's Swags, yelling at each other?
Swag's giving ridiculous takes and then following it up with ridiculous takes, then yelling at listeners about takes. We're yelling about college basketball.
Well,
beefing about the Blazers and the Mariners. It's a very contentious show today. Everybody needs to chill out. Everybody just chill out. Yeah. Take a deep breath.
The Mariner thing bothered me.
I don't know why that bothers you.
People can be bothered by my take on Cronin and the Blazers and think I'm being too negative. Come on,
kind of sad with Sprague on that. The Mariners are at another level.
It's been a different level of
mediocrity and ineptitude from the Blazers.
Yeah, I get it. You're comparing playoffs, like, oh, if you only, but you don't. That's not the way the league works. The Blazers, for the better part of almost 20 years, were one of the most stable, well-run organizations in sports.
They were.
Show me the 20-year run when the Mariners had that.
They've never had that.
Okay,
never had that. I think the argument would have been it's been a long time since that was the case. Mm-hmm. That was over 25 years ago now.
Okay.
That was a long time ago.
Who's had more recent success?
The Mariners have won a playoff series more recently than the Blazers.
Mm.
I mean, they have.
That's your definition of success? Their one playoff series win in 24 years?
I mean, how many of the Blazers won in 25 years? They went 12 years without winning a first-round series. When Dame hit the game-winning shot against Houston, that was their first playoff win in 14 years.
That tied them with the Mariners that one season.
That was a long time.
And then they did it a couple more times.
They did. They got out of the first round a few times.
They did, yeah.
I higher bars for my teams, I guess. But okay.
I mean, I want to
see, we're yelling at each other again. We're yelling at each other again.
Raise your voice there.
God, you guys are idiots. Just terrible takes coming in all over the map today. I don't know how to react to all of it. Mail sack question.
It's a terrible take Tuesday.
It's a terrible take Tuesday. Received an anonymous note on my door, presumably from a neighbor, not to use my weed killer on my front yard as dogs and children frequent the area. I have a dog. I have children myself whom I keep away for the 12-hour period when I spray. Yeah. Did I miss something or am I in the wrong now?
Well, no, you're not in the wrong. I'm actually going to defend this person. You know, weed killer and all those, you know, chemicals. Yeah, not great. Don't want your kids near it. Keep kids off my lawn.
Why are there kids on your lawn?
There's a neighbor.
Would be my first question.
A neighbor-ish. He's in my neighborhood, but I don't live right by him. But I always pass this house on a dog walk, okay? Every time. And in his yard, there is a sign. Please, no dog poop with a dog squatting and a X'd out thing. It's like a design sign.
Yeah.
You know what I don't do? I don't let my dog get near the grass. I yank my dog away if he
goes in that area.
If he's going that way, I yank him back and I'm like, I'm going to respect that. I don't even let my dog crap in people's front yards in general. I'm very anti that. I'm very against it. I've had random poops in my front and I get very upset by it. You can own a dog, clean up your dog crap. If you can't clean it up, get rid of a dog. You do not deserve to own a dog. Okay? Go crap. Go take your dog, take crap at a park. Not my front lawn. I'm for this person. Whoever your neighbor is that left that note, don't be a coward. Sign your name and then go tell them, keep your kids and your dog out of my lawn.
It's kind of a weird message, though. Just like, why are there other kids playing in your lawn?
Also,
would be my first question. Like, the dog thing is one thing.
It's not going to get them sick.
No, it's not. But also, dogs and children frequent the area. It's your lawn. Why are there other kids frequenting my lawn?
I mean, it's a sidewalk. So, like, maybe they go off into it.
Waddle into it.
There's a guy that
runs. You're free to do what you want to do with your property.
He runs his lab with him. He's not an old guy, but he's a little older than me. And every once in a while, his dog goes into my front yard. And he kind of pauses with the dog, but if he sees me, he then goes, come on, let's go. But I've caught him when I'm not, when he can't see me, and it's like he's letting his dog basically piss in my front yard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I don't do that to people.
I don't do that to people.
What are we doing?
Is the grass strip between the sidewalk and the road okay, even if cared for like a main lawn? Yeah, to go. The bathroom thing with dogs is interesting. I always pick up my dog's poop. I don't. It's hard to police him everywhere he pees. I'm not quite that strict on my dog.
But dog pee can
I know,
be problematic for people's lawns.
I know it can. Go pee.
Your dog's going in people's front yards.
He's going in people's front yards, yeah.
Number two?
He dumps in people's front yards, and I pick up the dump, yeah.
Yeah, but there's
I'm
always
not yanking
little,
my dog when he's spinning around to take a dump. I'm not saying no.
Residue.
Yeah. There's those soft ones, and there's little leftovers, and you're scooping it up.
Nah, he's got a healthy diet. There's no soft poops there. It's all hard, solid dumps.
We all got dogs.
There's
know.
No soft dew there. It's all hard as a rock.
You got a lab. There's leftover crap on that grass.
Yeah, I just...
Bubba's not grabbing the chunk of glizzy that hits the floor.
No, I don't drop a lot of glizzies at the house, thankfully. He actually doesn't like pooping on grass very often. He'll poop on rocks a lot.
Dude, my dog's been on a kick of going in the road.
Yeah, I think it's the squishy ground when it's wet. He doesn't like... He gets freaked out trying to...
My dog gets scared by it. He just like, he starts like, his back legs come super quick, and now we're just in the middle of the street. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I would say,
what are you doing?
He said, oh, give me a break, Sprig. Like, you can control where your dog's going to pee or poop.
Train your dog. I have a collar on him. I yank him. Yes.
It's like claiming that you think your child, when they're in diapers, can only poop in a certain spot, not be in a certain spot. If it's poop, they don't pick it up. That's a different story. Nah, but a dog peeing on your front yard or your grass is not a big deal. That guy.
You know.
Don't be that guy.
Everybody knows what their dog is looking like when they're about to do it. You all know. There's always a tell with your dog. My dog does not do that. Who does not go in somebody's front yard.
No pee in the front yard.
No pee, no poo.
What a miserable. He just got to hold it in the whole way. Hold it in.
Be a good boy. We're a pack, baby.
Not allowed to pee-poo. You dog pee-poo? I don't know if your dog pee-poo.
He pee-poo in the road.
Has he got a butt?
Pee-poo in the road. Don't nobody care about the street. Pee-poo in the road. We ain't going in front yards. I respect your yard.
Oh,
taking care of yards is hard, man. It's terrible.
Let me see what else we got
I punted on grass. Got rid of it.
Mail sack question. Here's the situation. Your college football team is going through a major rebuild while your chief rival is now a bona fide title contender.
Oh, God.
This is a long-winded one. Follow through. Your donors have banded together to come up with $10 million for this year, not to help your own team, but to make sure that the other outfit fails to win a natty. You may use any underhanded means to achieve this. What do you use the $10 million bankroll for? And you don't get to save any for next year. So essentially,
Oregon State use $10 million to railroad Oregon?
I mean, you
couldn't do anything.
Your only hope is paying somebody to go Tanya Harding on best play. I mean, that's the only sense
on Dan Lanning.
I think that's all you got.
Why?
Dante Moore, you're taking him
either
out.
That or some like massive CIA misinformation to like plant some gambling rumors or something about the other
sanctions
team
or something.
I think the way the Oregon quarterback room has gone in years past, I think the best way around this is to pay a lady to go talk to their next 27-year-old quarterback that's in year 9 and say, yo, we need you to marry and divorce mid-season. That would railroad this.
That'll railroad the run?
That would railroad.
Our year 9 quarterback getting divorced.
28-year-old Bo Nix.
Halfway through the year.
Somehow got year 18 exempt. Can't wait for you guys to take a step back.
Yeah, sure. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I don't think there's anything you could do, though, realistically.
No, there's nothing.
All jokes aside.
There's nothing you could do.
Like, if I spent $10 million to railroad an opponent.
Yeah.
Billboards?
I mean, you could hire a Connor Stallions to cheat, I guess, and, like, spy on their practice. Spygate, I guess. You could do that. Outside of that, I don't really know how
else you
get in the way.
Photoshop Dan Lanning in, like, an Italian swimsuit. One of those, like, what are those called? The free diving swimsuits just on a big billboard. We do it different at Oregon with Dan Lanning smiling. I don't know what you do.
Get it. There you go. There's your mail sack. Every Tuesday, usually at 8:15, but we moved it up a little bit this week. You know why?
Yeah.
The homie Mike Richmond.
Oh, I can't wait to talk.
Hey, do you guys know the Blazers extended Joe Cronin? Do you know that happened?
I do. We've talked about it a lot today.
Oh, we did? Okay, that's right. We already talked about
it's big
that.
Big news.
It was pretty big news.
Now what is he going to extend Chauncey?
That's the next step, right? We like the direction. We like the vision. We like the improvement. Doesn't the coach deserve a little bit of credit for that? Is he getting an extension too?
Is Chauncey part of the vision?
How's that going to hit home when Joe Cronin extend? Did you know they played high school sports against each other in Denver?
Let's do this poll question before Richmond comes on and see what the vote is when Richmond comes on. Is Chauncey, if you think you know Cronin's vision, is Chauncey part of the vision?
Yeah. Is he in the vision?
Because if you know the vision, you know that answer.
The homie Mike Richmond is next on The Fan.
Your leg won't connect to your knee bone.
It's time for a sports injury report. The injuries and rehab that impact the success of sports teams. Brought to you by Rock Orthopedic.
The experience with this is the guy plays, you know, the whole fourth quarter, said he felt fine. I trust, you know, trust him. I said, even if it's a little bit, you got to tell him. You know, he'll get checked out, and I don't anticipate it being anything, quite honestly.
Just going to let tomorrow be tomorrow and then go from there.
That is Kenny Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell talking about, you guessed it, Donovan Mitchell, who got hurt as the Cavs are trying to stay healthy for the start of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah, not been the greatest second half of the season for them post the All-Star break. They had a great year. I mean, they're 62-16, so we'll see where they end up finishing. They've got the one seed clinched, but not as invincible looking going into the playoffs, and now you've got some of these injury concerns. Maybe they're more vulnerable than we give them credit.
Well, I've been on that train all year. NBA Dirt, where he was right, maybe, soon to be. Inter Sports Injury Report presented by Rock Orthopedic. Board-certified specialists who diagnose and treat the widest range of orthopedic cases with care and expertise. Schedule an appointment with Dr. Bradford Black. Visit ROCPDX.com.
Into this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and their newest location at the south end of Lincoln City, Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Mike G. Richmond is the homie. He does a daily podcast on the Blazers, the Locked On Blazers podcast, and he is kind enough to join us now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich, Mike Richmond. Good morning to you. The news comes out yesterday, right when we're off the air. Joe Cronin got a contract extension. You see the news, the ShamWow announcement. What is the first thought that pops into your head?
No surprise. The team has demonstrated his vision of success by racing to the 12th seed. And so, you know, when you demonstrate some success in any line of work, you are eligible for promotions and raises, and in this case, contract extensions.
So we've talked with our listeners, and some have said, I see the vision. I've been kind of maintaining, I see some of the vision, but I think seeing the full vision means certain things pan out a certain way, and nobody can predict how those things will pan out. I think a lot of that vision depends on where they fall in the draft lottery. Is Chauncey Billups part of that vision, though?
My guess, and this is an educated guess more so than it is active reporting, but my educated guess is no. You know, a really good time to announce the future of the franchise is all at once. Like, you know, Billups with the team option for next season, if the Blazers said, this is our vision, we've got the front office intact, and we've got the coach we want, they would have just done it yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And then it would have been a whole thing. It doesn't mean that Billups won't get a contract. It just means that if there was, that was a very obvious time to do it. And based on sort of my educated guesses, I think that Billups is likely to have another job in the NBA next year, but not with the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, real quick, though, that could be accurate. Remember that we had that random Mannix report about Phoenix at kind of the end of last season, and I was like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal, and it didn't get enough talk. He comes back. We don't have high expectations. They overperform, and now people are writing real pieces about, I think he's earned the right to come back. He may be gone, but what are we to believe or think of the organization if they don't extend him? but they just pick up the 1 year. Like, if this is just a 1 year, hey, one more season together, but we're not going to give the contract extension.
I mean, that's just a reward I wouldn't accept if I am Chauncey Billups. I am not Chauncey Billups. My name is Mike. I host a daily podcast available wherever you get podcasts and also on YouTube. But like, okay, hey, you did it. You proved that you're an NBA coach. Your fourth season in the league was the best it's ever been. You coached the whole year with limited job security. Congratulations. Come back and do it again. That's like, I would, no thanks. You know, obviously, like, the team option is binding, but I would, you have an agent for a reason. Don't pick it up.
Like, yeah.
You tell them, don't pick it, because it's like, if you want, you know, commit, if you want me to be part of the plan, commit to it. Don't, another sort of like semi-hostage season to prove that you can coach. It's like, no, I'd rather just go get another job. That's what I would do if I was Chauncey Billups. I don't know that he would do it. But to me, that's, the single year, the 82 more games would seem like an insult to someone who you deemed successful.
I love the hostage analogy there. Now I'm just picturing that in my head. It does kind of feel like it. He's here against his will. Let me go, man. Let me go. Mike Richmond is the guest. As he told you, Lockdown Blazers podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And now I'm on YouTube. You can go give him a follow on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich. A very complicated tenure for Joe Cronin, right? Like, he takes over, he's interim. He's replacing an evil villain inside the organization, at least according to the fan base, right? Like, everybody hates Neil O'Shea. So it's like, well, this guy's automatically better than him because he seems nice. He seems humble. And then he told us what we wanted to hear as a fan base. Like, we're going to go so all in. You're going to be in pain, man. It's going to hurt. We're so all in. And then they never go all in. They're like, okay, now you're trading away the franchise player. I don't know. It's like every thought bounces off one side and goes to the other of like, yeah, I like Denny and Kamara. Those are good moves. But why the hell is Jeremy Grant still a Blazer? And why didn't you trade Robert Williams? Or, yeah, I just had this back and forth feeling. How do you analyze the job that he has done in that gray area of the positives and the negatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think people want to lean towards one of the polls, people being fans, and perhaps radio hosts and podcast hosts as well. People want to lean towards one of the polls is that it's like great, you know, trash or goat, I believe is how it works in the modern times. That could be a great segment for you. Trash, I think, or goat.
Trademark.
yeah. TM. In any case, he's in the middle, right? Like, I think the lottery draft picks he's made have finally showed some like real promise. And you could say like, yeah, those dudes look like they're going to be starters, more like quality NBA players, when it was a little shaky earlier in their tenures because Scoot and Shaden were very, very young and they struggled. The trades he's made with Tumani Kamara and Danny Avdija are good, but like the inaction with some of the other higher paid players on the roster seems really bizarre. I use this analogy on a relatively popular local niche podcast this morning, is that the first time you win 37 games, it is an incredible feat that you should celebrate. It is that Slurpee on a hot July day. Mm. And the second time you do it, you're just drinking sugar on the sidewalk and you're like, oh man. So, you know, I think the hard part is next. Like there's been some really good moves to get to being competent, but the really hard part is making the jump from competent to legitimately competitive. And that includes facing some of the inaction they've had over the last 18 months.
Can you, I wanted to ask you about expectation, and I think it's a little early right now. We kind of have to wait for the lottery to play out and then maybe wait for the pick as well. And even maybe summer league to see what that prospect looks like. But as much as I want to ask you that, I want to kind of follow up with, in thinking about next season and talking about visions and expectations, I keep coming back to, what, like, how last year they were willing to tank for what was billed from the beginning to the end as one of the worst drafts. But this year, nice giggle, as this year, let's take a step. Let's win more than they expect. Let's fight for playoff or play in respectability, but we won't make it, but we'll have the 9th or 10th odds in what is infinitely thought of as a better draft. I just thought the buildup was for this draft, and like last year they tried harder to be worse than they did for this year's draft, which is way better.
Yeah, it's odd. Hence the giggle. Who knows, right? Like I was like, we got to get Alex Saar, but Cooper Flagg? Nah. No. Let the chips fall where they may. He's like, we shall see where they land. We will not shamelessly chase Cooper Flagg. We wanted Zachary Risacher or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah, I guess like a lot of my question in covering this team, I spend way too much of my brain space thinking about them and talking about them. Is like, why now? Why did they turn the Jets on now? Like, why? And they didn't even really turn the Jets on, right? They didn't make some sort of big all in move. But like, why was this the year that they decided that winning was good? I do think there's a pretty clear roadmap from winning is good to new contract. I mean, like, again, like that's how you demonstrate your value to your bosses in literally any job. It's also the point of a basketball game is to win. So I see both of those parts of it, but it is strange to me. I don't know why this was the year that they said, we won't do the shameless tanking stuff until like one game with 3 minutes left against the Bulls. And they're like, yeah, no, actually we'll do tanking. We're into tanking. We'll tank.
Flagg might be the only Dookie in your life that you legitimately say, yeah, he good. I like watching him play. Wasn't mad that he was on my screen.
Elton Brand was pretty good. 25 years ago, Elton Brand was pretty good.
A minute ago.
They've had some good players. Jay Williams was pretty good too. I mean, they win. I don't know if you guys know this, but they win the recruiting championship almost every year.
They do.
They actually get to hang a banner in their arena to say that they've won the recruiting championship, and those banners last forever.
They do
hilariously flop in the Final Four every so often, but they get to hang those recruiting banners. Those are real.
How much fun did you have on Saturday night?
It was one of the great, great days of 2025, to be honest. It was one of the great days of 2025. I'm a Chapel Hill local, right? I went to Chapel Hill Carrboro Public Schools, and I have a group chat with several of my friends who also attended Chapel Hill Carrboro Public Schools. And boy, howdy, were we having fun on Saturday with the gang.
You want to hear a story that might add to it, but also be painful? Our boss, he's retiring. Friday's his last day, and he's been in radio forever. He's a North Carolina guy, grew up in Durham. So he grows up similar to you, except roots for the team down Tobacco Road. And so as a retirement gesture, his wife and son had bought plane ticket and game ticket to title game to San Antonio for him. And he didn't find out about that until after they lost that game.
Hey, well, they know who the coach is. Like, you got John Shire. He doesn't win on those Saturdays. He makes it there, but he doesn't win on those Saturdays. I would buy tickets. I would just quite frankly buy tickets earlier. You might want to buy them in July when they win their championships.
Well done.
I mean, Hubert Davis is pretty
Petty terrible. Is strong, so strong in you. It is so strong.
Carolina has been mediocre for like a decade. I don't care. I'm not here for that.
They did beat Duke in a Final Four.
They did.
Coach K going out of
K's last game.
That was great.
That was one of the all-time greats. Great, that's a Final Four game.
Is that right? Is that right? They invited Carolina to their own funeral, and we buried Duke.
It's kind of a mean way to send our boss out, him hearing this on
it's
the radio.
A little rough. We gotta have a counterbalance it with a Duke guest or something later in the week.
Can I ask quickly, very, very fast, Mike, what is, if you were to just give me your best thing right now, not knowing some of the lottery stuff, what is the expectation then next year for them?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because you would think that they have put themselves in a position where they don't want to take a step back, right? Where they're looking forward, and what is the step forward? The West is still going to be really, really good. A team is going to make the play-in with like 47 wins this year. That's tough. That's a lot of wins. I think the expectation is probably a similar version to where they are now, except that they don't have the first half of the year where they look like an absolute train wreck. Like they have the competent, like, you know, their baseline of defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other side of the ball where they need a little bit of help. And I think they've showed that they can be competent and that they're better than the bad teams. And so you try to stretch that out over 82 games. If you take care of business and beat bad teams over the course of 82 games, you're going to be about 500 because there's going to be flops, there's going to be injuries, there's going to be things like that. Like, you're going to end up with 37 to 42 wins if you just take care of business and remain relatively healthy. That might not be good enough to get you where you want to go, but that would be a step forward.
Did you know the Locked On Blazers podcast is a daily Blazer podcast? Did you know you can find it wherever you find your podcasts and now on YouTube? And you can follow him on Twitter at Mike G. Rich. He is the homie. Mike Richmond, tell your boss we say hello. Thanks for the insight.
Hey, Kevin.
And enjoy the final week of the regular season. And let's do this again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Go Tar Heels.
There you go. Mike Richmond is one of the best at plugging it. He gets the plugs in, and he's a diehard Tar Heel. And it's always fun watching
the odds of knowing a lifelong Tar Heel and a lifelong Dookie. Man.
It's a great feeling. Beaver fan and Husky fan watching 34-0 in the first half. How great was that day for
we were
them?
Holding hands and skipping.
Right? You're just enjoying it. You're giggling. You're having a great time. Doesn't matter where your team's at. My team lost to Washington twice 2 years ago, and then watching them lose in the national title game, God, it was delightful.
My team got left in a conference by themselves.
Well, you're adding Sasquatch State, I hear.
Is anybody here?
Hello?
Hello? It's Kevin McAllister.
Anybody home?
Mom?
Now, let's see if we get this correctly, because there's a thing in this read that I have not said yet, because I hear it both ways in my head. Let's try it out. You ready? Trust tree?
Okay.
Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker.
Yeah.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations.
Can you give me one of those locations?
Cannon Beach.
Yeah.
Tillamook.
Oh, beautiful.
Pacific City, the original, the OG.
The OG.
And their newest location on the south end of Lincoln City, overlooking Siletz Bay.
Siletz.
Siletz.
Siletz Bay.
Riggins?
Siletz.
Siletz. Siletz.
What are you Riggins for? I told you, Siletz Bay.
Siletz
Bay. Have you been there, by the way?
I have not been in the new location.
That location is...
breathtaking.
Remarkable. Yeah. I love all the locations. I think the Tillamook one is actually underrated, because you got to go through Tillamook...
That's very true.
...to get to, like, Oceanside and Neatarts, and you could go that way to Pacific City. But if you're actually, like, going to a coastal town, not Pacific City... you stop in Tillamook, and it's just like random building, walk in, boom, here's Pelican.
Look at that, Pelican, boom.
See Pelican there, can wave to the cows.
Yes, you can.
Hello, cows. Nice. We love cows. Who doesn't love cows?
You see how they make the beer?
Did you know Pelican Brewing Company? Born at the beach.
They're
born at the beach.
I did.
So, there you go. Siletz. Siletz Bay. Siletz Bay.
You need to read up on your coastal town.
File away now. I'm going to laugh. I kind of hope we get 20 texts coming to be like, what are you talking about? I'm genuinely hoping.
Terrible Take Tuesday has been live. It's been live.
Do you got any meat on that bone? You want a meat on that bone? Or can I move on to Nuggies? Nuggies?
I think we gave our takes.
Okay.
Why they signed him.
We get it.
There's a lot here. There's a lot of questions.
There's a lot going on there.
A lot of questions when he got picked up as the GM. We're sitting here a couple years later. A lot of questions.
I got some Nuggies, and one guy feels disrespected. That's all next. Well, you know me. I'm chomping at the bit. It's Masters Week. My pimento cheese shows up tomorrow. Tomorrow's a par 3 contest. So I got some Nuggies. I'm going to save my Nuggies for tomorrow. I'm going to save the Nuggies. We'll get to the Nuggies tomorrow.
So am I to bring the bread Thursday?
I got you, dog. I got you. I got bread.
Don't know how big of a pimento I'm asking for here.
I'm not going to make massive pimento. I'm not utilizing the majority of my pimento for you two.
Now they
idiots.
Do they serve it out there on just good old plain old fashioned white country bread?
Just plain old fashioned white country bread for $1.25 or $1.49 or whatever, $1.50, whatever it costs.
Like, you know how you see those little cucumber sandwiches, crustless, on like a tray in a movie?
Yeah. No. We're not having high tea here.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
A crustless pimento cheese?
No, I'm just saying like that size. You don't need to bring regular size ass sandwich.
I was going
to
do a half of a sandwich of each of the sandwiches and then cut the half of the sandwich in half.
I'm in. So that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to save my Nuggies for tomorrow. Mm.
Make me want to buy this next year.
I'm going to make sure you get your requests in for your Masters lottery tickets for next year so you can go buy one yourself in person.
Yeah, what do the badges
Augusta,
cost? $2,500 a day or something?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can't. Well, I got my tickets.
You
free.
Got gifted. Like
we went down Magnolia Lane, man. We were staying in a cottage off of the 10th hole.
You were the VIP tent.
I was hanging out with Matt Ryan and some random country
you
singer.
You know, funny enough,
Little Big Town.
We're going to interview him at some point in our lives.
I crossed paths with him twice.
And I was going to say, you have crossed paths twice with Matt Ryan. We ate dinner next to Matt Ryan at
Bandon. Yes, we did.
We were at Bandon, and he was there with his group of buddies. We're like, hey, look at that. It's Matt Ryan. We were like the only people in the restaurant. It was us four, and then, the three of us, and then Luke and somebody else, and then it was Matt Ryan and his high school buddies.
His crew was enjoying their wine.
You imagine knowing somebody
that
like
that? That was when he was good. He was still a Falcon.
Yeah, that
I think it was the year after the Super Bowl.
That was COVID. I think it was COVID time because I remember it being they were trying to get local people down.
Yeah,
that
the
was
international,
we went down.
The Big Whale
Sheep
international guests couldn't fly in.
Right.
That normally come
we were
for
all
the opening
jokes
of
like,
Sheep Ranch.
Why didn't we go down every? I mean, that should have been. I should have gone every week.
Bandon. So this is an all-time funny, stupid story for people that love to casually golf or love golf. So we get this rare. It's not happened since Sheep Ranch is opening. Our sales extraordinaire Luke gets an email from Ben. Hey, we'd love to just generate any conversations locally and nationally. We want to reach out to you guys. Would you be interested in playing Sheep Ranch? It's opening, but we're allowing people to come down and play it before it opens. And we're like,
duh. Hell yeah, bro.
I remember I was playing golf when he called me and said, hey, do you want to go to Bandon this weekend? I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
What?
So where?
The idea that you even I'll thought you had to call me, it's like just offensive.
We drop our stuff. We're going to Bandon on a couple day notice. Yeah, we're in. So we go to Bandon. They put us up. They give us this great steak dinner. The gal, she was the nicest person. We play the par three at sunset. It's picture perfect. We wake up 8:30, 9 a.m. tee time at Sheep Ranch. Here we go. We're like the fourth round ever to play at Sheep Ranch after they built it, like ever. And we're on Sheep playing. It's beautiful. It's immaculate. Round gets over. The guy that runs Bandon couldn't have been nicer to us. He goes, hey, if you guys want to play one of the other tracks, I'll get you on right now. And one of the funniest stories looking back now is all of us said, we're going to go home.
Yeah, we all said that.
None of us
that was a
took him
us.
Up on that offer. I still haven't played Bandon Dunes.
What are we doing?
I've played every track except Bandon Dunes.
Why are we so stupid?
And I don't know why
we
said
that. You know what moment
that
was for us? That was the end of Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Hey, we're looking for a couple of oil boys. You want to come travel the country with us? We need to get there's a town 5 miles that way.
There's two
guys. You'll find some eager guys who are going to be really lucky to play this free golf.
I remember an hour into my drive, I'm in the middle of God knows where, Douglas County, and I'm like,
driving through Coos
Why
Bay.
Didn't I stop and play
another
round?
All
just
of
drive
a sudden,
home at night.
Just screech home at the brakes in the middle of the road. We should have called the boss and said, we're just not coming, but we're going to be back on Wednesday.
We were a noon to three show, weren't we?
I think we were at the time,
so,
if I remember correctly.
What we was our home, home late at for. Night, but yeah, we could have.
What are we doing?
What track would you guys have picked in looking back? Because
I hadn't
Dunes.
Played the Old MacDonald. I have not played yet.
You've never played Old Mac.
I haven't played Old Mac. I played all the rest of them, but I would have wanted to play Old Mac.
Who's your favorite kid?
But I like playing on the cliff, but also trails is my favorite track.
Yeah, I mean, I
didn't know that at the time because I hadn't actually played anywhere except. At that point,
I'd probably choose OG Bandon. I think OG Bandon would probably be my pick.
It's the one that's escaped me.
That view, though, when you're on Sheep Ranch and you crest the first fairway,
right?
Because it's a long par five, and all you see when you're on the tee box is painted picture. It's just a hill. You're just hitting up a hill,
and then you come down.
And you're like, you hit your tee shot. Hopefully, it's over the hill, and you're kind of like, hey, I wonder where my ball went up. And you get to the top of the hill, and you're like,
and then
holy
your
crap!
Approach shot is right.
I'm
going to
tell
Pacific
you right now.
Ocean.
There's the Pacific Ocean.
I've had plenty of shots in my life to say this is going to get me coming back, but when you pipe a drive perfectly down the middle of that sheep hole, number one, and you crest that hill, I don't know if there's a better feeling than seeing ball middle fairway with view.
You got a 3-wood into a par 5 green downhill towards the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, please.
It's wide open too. There's no traps.
Don't
there's
care
no
what
bunkers.
Happens. I'm
it
hitting this with a
let
with
this
smile.
Thing go, baby. Yes. Oh, take me back.
Why didn't we do that?
I don't know. We're
I don't
stupid.
Know. I don't know.
I mean, you were older. You should have stopped everybody. It's
you
a
guys. Were,
guys.
Yeah.
Guys. Guys. Yeah. You know, I didn't have kids. I didn't have a kid yet.
You didn't have a girlfriend, did you?
I think I was married. No,
Oh, yeah. You were just getting married.
I was just getting married. I was either engaged or about to get married.
Because it was in May. It was like a month before.
That's right. And I ended up getting married in July.
Okay. But you had no real.
I had nothing to be home for. You didn't need me to be home.
I mean, come on. Say it like that.
That was poorly done.
Stupid. I mean, it's all-time stupid.
We lacked vision. We lacked vision.
It shouldn't even have been vision. It should have just been a brain.
Bandon, if you're listening, I'd love to be inside you again. Let me in.
Wow.
Let me in.
Take me home.
Take me home, Bandon Roads, to the place.
Hey, Noda.
What's up, Noda? I saw Noda down there. I was hanging with Noda.
Every time you go to Bandon Dudes, you will see Noda.
I bump into somebody. Yeah, somebody's
every
there.
Every time.
Because we were there. Last time I was there was the same. It was the year before you, but we were both there the weekend of the Junior Am. And so he was there calling it, I think. And I think that's why you couldn't play OG Bandon when you were there.
Yeah, it was
And I was
off.
There for the weekend of the same thing where the course was closed. We played Pacific Dunes. And it was Nota Begay hanging out at a bar in Bandon, Oregon.
Not a funnier moment in my life than driving to Bandon and my homie Jesus saying, man, if I see Nota Begay, I'm definitely saying hi. And I was like, he might be there. He's always there. He's
hanging out.
And then literally that night for dinner, we go. We see Nota Begay at the bar.
And say,
I say, yo.
Here he is right there.
Doesn't say anything.
Come on.
At the door, Nota walks up. Hey, Nota.
Hey, Nota.
And Nota Begay looks at him like, hey. And just walks away.
What was it like playing with Tiger, man? Was it cool? You remember in college? All right, there you go. I miss you, Bandon. We got to go. We're a little against it. Let's get you set for your night in sports. Close it up next on The Fam. Well, Harry Belafonte will get you going to close out the show today. You said that. Listener apologizing profusely for their bad question. I think you shamed this listener. Way to go, Swag.
Well, he had his pretty stupid answer
He also said you've been mispronouncing Josh Sikreski's name wrong in your updates all morning, so why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it?
Terrible take Tuesday.
Yeah. Here we go.
Everybody's all feisty today.
NHL
I told you.
Over NFL. Come on.
Poll questions. Your Portland Trailblazers are giving general manager Joe Cronin a multi-year extension. Are you glad they're keeping Joe Cronin as the GM? 38.8% of you say you're unsure how to feel. 32.6 say yes, I am glad. 28.6% of you say no.
That's closer than I thought it would be. I thought yes would actually win out.
Which take is worse? Sprague saying one shining moment is overrated, or Swag saying he'd rather have the NHL in Portland over the NFL? 76% of you say Swag's take is atrocious.
What's wrong with 24% of you?
That's a perfect question.
Josh Allen could be in our city playing football. He'd rather see what? The Florida Panthers or the New York Islanders.
Ovi get to 1,000 goals. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
That'll happen in this. That'll happen in Portland. That'll definitely happen here. Last one. If you think you see the vision of Joe Cronin, is Chauncey Billups part of that vision? 67.2% of you say no, he is gone after this year.
Mike's point's very valid.
Very valid
you
point. If you were keeping
dual extensions to announce.
He is a bit of a hostage situation, and it costs us Cooper Flagg, so, you know. Great job all around, everybody.
Hey, he wanted to win, he win.
That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080thefan on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Tomorrow, I got a lot of Masters nuggies.
I got a lot of draft nuggies.
Draft
I got NFL
nuggies
I want to get to.
NFL nuggies. We got a quarterback
NBA
who felt disrespect. NBA nuggies.
Why does this media member hate this NBA player? I don't get it.
It's going to be a loaded Wednesday. I already know it. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.